And welcome. This is Julio Martinez, celebrating the best in live theater and cabaret in the greater Los Angeles area. Coming to you over KPFK 90.7 FM. And today we are visiting Catherine Butterfield, playwright and actress Teresani Baker. Did I say that right?
You said it much more beautifully than anyone has ever
said it, I think.
Okay, thank you. And we're going to be talking about a play that opened a while ago and was so popular, it's come back. So please stay tuned to Arts and Review. And I am back. As I said, I have Catherine Butterfield, Tisa Teresina Baker here in studio. And I have to ask you, Catherine, this play was done before. It was produced by which company?
The Open Fist.
The Open Fist, right. Very adventuresome company.
Yeah.
And what made you bring it back?
Well, we got an amazing response from it. And just at the time when we started selling out, they had a solid closing date that we could not go beyond. And so we thought we'd like to move it and let the people who still wanted to see it, see it. So we organized a GoFundMe campaign. And this particular production is entirely underwritten by GoFundMe donors.
And Tisha, you were part of the original cast, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I first read this play when Catherine wrote it in 2013. And I would not let go of the idea of me getting to play this role, so I harangued her every chance I got, and we did a bunch of readings over the years, and so when we did the initial production, I think I said, like, when we had a few performances left, I was like, the idea that I'm not going to get to play Kelly Moran again is unacceptable and heartbreaking, and the cast all agreed that they didn't want to stop, so
it's the exact same cast.
Yeah.
Everybody came back. They love doing it.
And it opened on March 4th.
Yeah.
And it's running through March 26th.
That's right.
This is at Theater 68, which is right here in NoHo.
Yeah, on Lancashire. 5112 Lancashire.
Just in case you want the address. Yeah, it's a beautiful space. I think they just got done renovating that theater.
Did.
And they have a bunch of little, they have the Emerson, which is the theater we're in, and then the Rosalie and the Beckett. But it's a beautiful space. It's an intimate space, which actually suits this play, I
think.
To a
T. Mm-hmm.
It's lovely.
Suddenly you can see faces. You can hear, you know, the nuances that you couldn't detect before. It's a nice transfer.
So I'm listening to both you talk, and I don't hear a Boston accent out of either of you.
Yes, well, we're trained actresses, darling.
We're both Boston adjacent. I spent summers there because I have family in Wakefield, Massachusetts. So I was the youngest of all the cousins, and I thought I have such great memories of that and so much love for the city of Boston and the people there, because they are unlike anybody else, any other group of people in the nation, I feel like. They are very, very specific. And so when I first read this, I remember Catherine said, I read it through, and before we did the first reading, she said, I think I have, I have some ideas. And I was like, let me take a whack at it, because I immediately connected with this character and I got it. And I said, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but here's what I think it is. And after we did the first reading, she was like, I think that's it.
That's it. We had a reading in New York initially with a couple of, you know, Broadway types, and they did a really nice job. And we had a couple other readings here. But when Tisha took over, it just was like, yeah, okay, that's what we need.
Aw, thanks.
I was interested in the stimulation of this play. Catherine, you were originally from Minnesota?
No, I'm originally from New York.
Oh.
Yes. My dad was a television station manager. Uh-huh. So we moved around quite a bit. And he met my mother in New York at CBS. And we ended up in Minnesota for the bulk of my youth, like, you know, from 5 to 12, I guess. And that's where I got kind of indoctrinated into the ethic of nice.
She's very
yes, good. I know.
To be called not nice was the worst thing anyone could say about you. So when we moved to Massachusetts when I was 13, it was a real culture shock.
Hey, Boston is not so nice.
Yeah. It was, well, especially for, you know, a teacup like me, it was really easy to crack my veneer, and it cracked like the first day. I remember I showed up at school with a little dirndl dress and yarn in my hair, and I watched the girls get off the bus, and they had fishnet stockings and, like, you know, that Amy Winehouse eyeliner, and they were just tough as all hell. And I thought, I'm in trouble here.
So all this germinated within you, and it you created this play out of this experience.
I did. Well, I found myself sort of hypothesizing, like, what happened to these girls, you know, 20 years from now? They're like the movie stars of the high school. We're all afraid of them and impressed by them. But what happens when they get to be like 40? You know? Mm-hmm. So at first, as I was writing it, I was making it kind of a hatchet job on them because I had bad memories of them and I wanted them to suffer. But as I kept writing it, I fell in love with them, these two sisters, and how, you know, the difficulties they were going through and their sense of humor about it all and how tough they were, but how really vulnerable underneath both of them were.
Sounds like the pink ladies from Greece a bit.
Very not. Yeah, they're all Rizzos. That's the thing.
Yeah.
If you go to the South Shore of Boston, there's very few Sandys. They're mostly Rizzos.
Yeah, I don't remember meeting any Sandys.
No. A
couple more book nerds like me, but not too many Sandys.
I'd like to have been a fly on the wallpaper during the early readings of this play. It sounds complicated. Now, I'm at a disadvantage because I haven't seen it. I'm going to be seeing it before you close. But I was reading the description, and a lot of things happened in this play.
Yeah, a lot of things happen, and there is a big turn of events that I'd rather not reveal here.
That's all right.
But it has to do with these two sisters preparing to meet the birth daughter of one of them. And when she arrives, we find out that she did not get adopted into a similar background. She was her mother and father are very wealthy, and she lives in, you know, Shaker Heights, and she's she's kind of like I was. She's a teacup. Except as we discover, she's got her mother's blood running through her veins. That comes out during the course of the first act in particular. They both have a secret agenda. And
I would say every character in this play has their own agenda.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah, they've all got their little secrets.
Mm-hmm. Catherine has a friend who came to see actor Stephen Tobolowsky, and I think he summed it up so perfectly when he said, you see angels, you see devils, mm-hmm. and you find yourself somewhere in each of these characters, because you really,
yeah.
I think that's the common theme that I hear from audience after the show is like, they're like, you know, they felt very connected to this character in this moment. But then something happens, and then they are like, oh, but now I feel badly, and I wish, I'm rooting for this character. So there's a lot. Families are complicated, as we all know, and I feel like this is no exception.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you mean this to be a dramedy, something between a comedy and a drama?
I think initially I was thinking of it more as a drama because, as I mentioned, I was feeling a bit vengeful. But as I continued to write and as we kept having readings, well, first of all, whenever I write drama, comedy comes out anyway. It's just sort of who I am. So this, however, became more and more comedic the more we worked on it because it's deep stuff. It's painful stuff. But you laugh. In fact, people were telling me they laugh with tears in their eyes because they were just crying a minute ago. which is my favorite thing to do.
The first time you did it at Open Fist, how much of a rehearsal time did you have?
Oh, what would you say?
It was major. It was for the most part, we did it on Zoom. We rehearsed for about 3 weeks on Zoom. And then we had like maybe 2 weeks in the space, 2.5, 3 weeks in the space.
That's right. Because we were all still COVID fearful. Yeah. Not that we're not now. But
we were testing like twice a week once we got into the space, even during the run of the show.
And you know what? That turned out to be a great thing. At first, I was a little frustrated not to get up on stage. But we were able, because we were all on monitors with each other, to really talk about backstory and examine nuance and explore in ways that you normally wouldn't have the time to explore if you were just slapping this thing up.
Yeah.
Now, so you didn't get before an audience until you got off off Zoom into a theater.
Yeah. So by then, they had their lines down cold. They were just dying to get up on stage.
We were.
I have to ask you, the first time you performed before an audience, were you surprised where the laughs were and weren't?
Not so much, because I'd had readings, even from the first reading in New York with Jessica Hecht and Maren Hinkle, the audience was laughing a lot.
Okay.
And so I knew where the funny was. I added some more funny, too, because I think, you know, you can only take so much drama, especially these days. Mm-hmm. And after that, it just became a question of the fine points, you know.
Mm-hmm. So your run here, has it been as successful so far as it was at Open Fist?
I would say, yeah. I mean, we're getting the same kind of sort of rapturous response from audiences that we got there. People are excited. People want to help us.
Yeah.
You know, they want to see if they can take it to the next level, and that would be cool.
Yeah. We've had some repeat customers, which is always lovely, where they come back because they want to see again, and they want to see it in a different space. And I have yet to do this show. There are some plays I do where I like to sneak out the back door after the end of it. But I will say there has not been one performance that I have not been called. Even when I try to sneak out, someone says, there's somebody up here that wants to talk to you. And it's always interesting and nice. Like, they always have something they want to tell me about.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away about the plot points, but there's a lot that I think people connect with. And the thing I most appreciate about the writing and then my fellow actors is none of these characters are a stereotype. None of these characters, you know, would have been in lesser qualified hands writing, directing, acting. It could have fallen that way where you kind of slap a, you know, funny Boston accent on it and you kind of go for the laugh or whatever. But these people are feeling so, you know, really invested and, you know, because these are all fully formed characters with a lot of flaws, but a lot of love and, you know.
And you know what was funny was that during the first run, I had my high school reunion coming up.
Yeah. That's right.
And I went to it.
She went to see the Hot Girls.
And we had the Hot Girls, to see how they had turned out. And they knew about this play because we had a Zoom presentation of it. And a lot of them watched it, and they said, you got us. You captured us.
It's a five-person play, right?
Yeah.
Tisha Terracini-Baker, Banker. Alice Kors, mm-hmm. Casey Maeda, mm-hmm. Jack David Sharp, and Amanda Wire. Mm-hmm. So that's the complete cast from both plays.
Yeah, that's right.
That's us.
Amanda plays her sister. The two of them are hilarious together because they're old friends.
That's right. And Amanda and I, we've known each other for 20 years, which is about as close to sisters as two actresses can get, you know,
they
without
love
actually.
They love each other. They annoy the hell out of each other.
And so when I had read this with a few different actresses playing Maureen, and when Amanda stepped in, I was like, it was like watching sort of sand settle it. And I was like, that's exactly it.
It's a perfect role for her.
It is.
It's also about baseball.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. I got to tell everybody, if they want to see this play, it runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
But actually, today is our last Friday performance because we've added matinees on the Sundays, right?
That's right.
So this is our
last Saturday.
So come tonight, folks.
Come tonight or come Saturdays at 8 or Sundays at 2 p.m. or 7 p.m.
Two performances on Sunday.
Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You work hard. and this is at Theater 68 Complex. And you can go online. It's www.theater68artscomplex.com.
You know what I prefer them to go call. To is onstage411.com.
Ah, that's easier.
I think easier. It's easier to... easier to get the tickets. You have to navigate less through the website. It's just onstage411.com.
Or if you need to call, you can call 818-691-3001. So I have to ask you, I guess the Boston Red Sox are involved in all of this.
Yes, they are. There was a terrible incident back in 1993. Where the Red Sox had lost their chance at the pennant because a Yankees fan inning, just as the guy was about to catch pop fly, Yankees fan runs out on the field and nullifies the play. And they lost the game. Because then Wade Mattingly got up and hit. Wade Boggs got up and hit and Mattingly, and it was...
They're still upset about it in Boston. They're still upset.
So that was sort of the inciting event for the backstory of what's going on with these girls. But I'm not going to tell you too much.
That's all right. I have to remind everyone, I am the host, Julio Martinez. And my guest.
And you thought you'd get a word in edgewise.
Sorry. Our playwright, Catherine Butterfield, and actress, Tisa Terracina Banker. Now, I hear Tisa. Is it Tisha?
It's Tisha.
Oh.
They probably didn't put an H in for you.
No.
That's okay.
But when I look at it later, it says Tisha.
I have been called so much worse, Julio.
And you are listening to 90.7 FM KPFK. If you're in Santa Barbara, you're listening to us over 98.7 FM. And if you're in San Diego, 93.7 FM. And if you're in the snowbound hills of Ridgecrest, 99.5 FM. We are the Pacifica outlet for Southern California. And I am your host, Julio Martinez. I'm followed by Donna Walker, who's my producer and the host of Pacifica Performance Showcase. We are the Arts and Culture Hour of KPFK. And her guests today are co-creators of Godfather of Harlem and Aaron Lazar in The Secret. I'm reading it. The Secret Garden at the Amundsen. You spelled it wrong. At the Amundsen. Her guests here are the creators of Godfather of Harlem and Aaron Lazar in The Secret Garden of Amundsen. Of the Amundsen. Secret Garden at the Amundsen.
You did it.
Barely. I barely did it. I want to know something about yourselves. Catherine, you are a prolific playwright.
I've written a lot of plays, yeah.
What was your first?
My first full length was called Life in the Trees. And it was done, it used to be 3 1 acts. I was really just working out how do you be a playwright at that time. And they all went together because these people's lives intertwined. We had a great production of it here in Los Angeles, actually, years ago.
Where?
I think it was The Matrix, and it had Patrick Warburton, Sue Ann Spook, Nancy Youngblood, a bunch of wonderful actors in it. That was, I guess, the first one to take off was called Joined at the Head. And that was done at the Manhattan Theater Club and really kind of launched my career in terms of, you know, exposure and recognition and stuff like that.
Was Brownstone done here?
Yeah. Brownstone was at the Laguna Playhouse.
I saw that.
Oh, you did?
I did see that.
Oh, great.
I think I reviewed that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
I'll have to
variety.
Go back and look and see what you said. No.
That's wonderful. How did you get started? Where did you go to school?
I went to SMU in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, that's a bit of a jump.
It really was. I was going to a girls' school. I was going to Skidmore College. Well, it had already gone co-ed, but it was mostly girls at that time. And I just wasn't thriving. And so I transferred to SMU, and they had a great theater program.
Are you a fan of football and basketball? Because that's what it's known for.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, the theater department is probably in Canada. It's like an oasis where nothing else permeates.
I've heard all that before. So, how about you, my favorite actress?
I was born in St. Louis, Missouri. And then I left there, went down to New Orleans, to Loyola, New Orleans, and got my undergraduate degree and started working in theater professionally. But I always felt like I didn't really know what I was doing. Now I know nobody, like everyone feels
Nobody
they
knows.
Still know, don't know what they're doing. But at the time, I was like, I have to go get my master's degree in acting so I can, you know, so I can have the tools and all this stuff, and, which was a lovely experience. So I went to DePaul at the theater school, the Goodman, and
good school.
Yeah, and I got my master's, and it was in some of my, you know, I still see classmates in all forms of energy. You know, some are movie stars, and some are TV stars. You know, so it was a great training ground. And then I moved out here, and I had no idea how the business worked. And but I always did theater because I was like that was the thing that I loved from the time I was a little kid. And I just told this story recently where I was like, I remember the thing I saw when I was like 9 was something called Christmas on Angel Street. And it was not a terribly good play. I don't know that it was like published or anything, but I remember sitting in that audience and going, I could do that. Oh, I could do that. And I came home and I was determined that I should be doing a thing like that. I didn't know what it was called. I mean, nobody in my family is an artist. Nobody in my family is a performer.
Oh, interesting.
And so my mom was super supportive, but like in the sense that she was like, yes, do it. I have no idea how or, you know, by what means, but yes, do it, all the things. And so she was really instrumental because then when I was getting ready to go off and, you know, have a career and do all the things, I was like still a visual artist. I was still painting a lot. And my mom said, you know, you might not make a living either way. So do the thing you love the most. Mm. And I was like, oh, yeah. She's,
very intelligent lady.
My mom's lives in Malibu and she's a doll. She's a character beyond characters.
What was your first professional role?
What was my first professional role? God, what did I do? Now I'm like thinking to myself, would that be called professional? Would that be called?
Well, you know, Tisha was in Life Expectancy, which is another one of my plays at Malibu
true.
Playhouse.
I sort of played Catherine, if you will.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you did in a way. She was wonderful. It was this couple who were having this late in life pregnancy and all the perils.
That's right.
It was also a comedy, but it had a lot of darkness.
That's right. Well, when I first came out to Los Angeles, I joined Open Fist. That was my first home, sort of artistically. And I go back there and they, even though I'm like a member emeritus because I had kids and moved out to the burbs, they still let me come in and do stuff, which I'm forever grateful about. But I would say that one of my first the big things in L.A. was at the Blank Theater. We did Book of Liz.
Oh, yes.
And that was such a blast on all the – I mean, it was artistically satisfying. It had a great run. I think it ran for a year. And some of my best friends, you know – that I still adore and love and talk to. That happens for a short time, I feel like. You become a very bonded cast, but it's rare that then, you know, 10, 20 years later, you're still talking to those people every day. And that's, so that was a big gift for me.
Catherine, you started out as an actress?
I did, yeah. I was a regional theater actress, and I adored it. It was wonderful. I worked a lot at, like, Oregon Shakespeare, Seattle Rep, Pittsburgh Public. You know, went around the country playing roles, mostly classical theater.
How did you get your equity card?
Oh, my equity card had nothing to do with classical theater. It was Play It Again, Sam, with Alan Sues. Do you remember Alan Sues?
Oh, sure. That sounds like dinner theater.
It was dinner theater, yes. And I played the Diane Keaton role. He was hilarious, but he was so ill-suited for that role. Such a fun guy. Yeah, that was
What stimulated you to start writing a play?
Well, I always wrote, even as a little girl. I have three sisters and one brother, and I would make them be in my little plays. Aww. Even from the age of about 9, my first play to write was an adaptation of The Emperor's New Clothes. And I would gather all the kids up from the neighborhood and bring them down to the basement, and we'd perform it for them. So it was, there's a precedent here. But then later on, I became an actress for many years and kind of forgot that I was a writer. But when I got to New York, they didn't really care if you'd just done a great production of Hedda Gabler at Pittsburgh Public. They were like, why haven't you been here? So I started writing things just to be able to perform them in New York so people could see me, you know. And it worked out pretty well. I did it at the West Bank Cafe, a lot of little one acts. And Louis Black, the comedian Louis Black, would open for the room. He'd do like, you know, a half an hour and then introduce the one act. And it was so great. It was like grad school, you know. Great bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. Now, this play is going to have a termination run. It's not a really long run.
No.
So do you have other plans for it?
Well, we hope so. I mean, at this point, it's about exposure. I'm working really hard to try and get producers and people who could do something with it in. It's a challenge. If you're listening, you should definitely come.
That's true.
You ever thought about taking it to the Hollywood Fringe Festival? It's a small enough cast.
Yeah, that's right. You could do that, I suppose. It feels a little bit like that might be going backwards.
Maybe.
Yeah. I feel like the next
Well, take step... it to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. That's going forward.
I'm thinking off Broadway, but you know.
Yeah. Yes, you should. I have to repeat. The name of the play is To the Bone, written by my guest, Catherine Butterfield, who's here with Tisha Teresini Banker, the actress in the play, one of the five actors in the play. And it's running through March 26th, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2?
2 and 7.
Two and seven. Two performances on Sunday through March 26th. And what is that place that can go online to see it?
Onstage411.com.
Or you can call 818-691-3001. I want to thank you both. The half hour goes by terrifically fast.
Yeah. It really did. Thank you so much for having us.
And I want you to please stay tuned to Donna Walker and Pacifica Performer Showcase. And I'll be back next Friday because we are the Arts and Culture Hour. See you next week. Bye-bye.